listening to the High Spot Podcast Battle Cup Pro Special Edition. I am Jeff Martin alongside the Trendsetter. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. You can follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast and all our social media platforms. Of course, also our brand new spanking website, highspotpodcast.com. Also, leave a review, comment, 5-star rating on our iTunes. So, Trendsetter, we are now like to the point. I mean, look at my finger here. We're this close. From Battle Cup Pro, they all fall down. Front row is sold out, so guys, get your tickets fast at battleclubpro.com. Trendsetter, we've got an unbelievable matchup between the Ugly Ducklings and Federated, and Mick Drake is our guest here on the show tonight.
You know, sometimes I don't think this show could get any better, but sometimes I'm proven wrong, and I've been proven wrong several times, and I'll be the first one to admit that I'm wrong, and we have him on the show. Can't wait. This has been the longest period that I've ever waited for an event, and you know what, I think it's gonna live up to the billing, Jeff, because with all the injuries you've had leading up to November 4th in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey, the 1-year anniversary of Battle Club Pro, it's gonna be exciting, man. And you know, I thought we've had some pretty good interviews to this point. Talking to Mick Drake, man, it's like, wow, this guy. We talk about passion, and it's the common theme that everybody says, oh, you have to have passion to be in this business. But Mick sees it from a completely different angle. I think a lot of people want to see it from. And I think when you guys listen to his interview, you're going to really appreciate his mindset, because, you know, confidence is something that, you know, Jeff and I debate about sometimes. Can you learn it? Is it something you're just born with? I think a guy like Mick Drake not only has the confidence, but it just oozes out of him. And it's not even cockiness. You can't even hate him on that. He just really believes in himself. And isn't that what it's all about in this business specifically, Jeff? You believe in yourself, because if you don't, nobody else is.
Yeah, it's all about believing in yourself. And if you have the confidence, who gives a crap what anybody else thinks? At the end of the day, you're not here to make friends. You want people to at least respect you. And that's what our wise man from Collar and Elbow said, and that Al Snow. So I took something very important from that interview that we had with him. Check it out on our High Spot Podcast episode 97, I believe.
Just look it up, guys.
Just look it up, guys. Bastards. But yeah, man.
Can't keep up with all the episodes we do, Jeff.
We're doing Battle Club Pro. We're doing High Spot Podcast episodes. Join the Shining Wizards. We're already for B+ Player Radio Network.
Yeah, check us out at NXT Weekly as well, part of the Fans Podcast. We're
crazy.
Everywhere, man.
I need a drink. But listen, Mick Drake is an unbelievable talent, and he's part of Federated with the Green Machine, Mike Orlando. And the Ugly Ducklings are their opponents. And I've got a chance to see the Ugly Ducklings. It'll be my first time in person watching them. They're also amazing.
Did you feed them breadcrumbs, Jeff?
Well, you know, I did not personally, but other people seem to have. But this is another team that's very popular.
It's on the rise,
and,
basically.
Yeah, and
I think what you'll get out of this, folks, if you don't know what I mean right now, you will when this interview, you hear it in its entirety. Two guys like this for the Federated, these guys don't last very long. And what I mean by that is not their careers run short. Their careers skyrocket pretty fast. So
yeah,
mark
they're
your
on
words.
The trend up. Yeah.
They're on the trend up, yeah. That's not even a word. They're on the rise.
Well, no, they're trending up. They're on the trend up, so.
Oh, I never used that phrase before. That's
well,
why I said.
Well, just because you don't use it doesn't mean it's not there or doesn't exist.
Well, if
exist.
It doesn't make sense to me, I'm not going
to
use it.
Well, to you. But, hey, you're looking really good in that collar and elbow there, hat
hey,
there.
You got to represent them, right? Even though people can't see me, you know, I have
well,
to represent
I gotta
them.
Well, I got to say, you do look good, though. But enough of the collar and elbow and how amazing you look in that hat, Trendsetter.
Thanks.
It's time to talk to
appreciate
Mick Drake.
That.
The Dagger himself joins us on the High Spot Podcast, Battle Club Pro Special Edition, talking some Ugly Ducklings. All right, Brian, Battle Club Pro, they all fall down. Looking so forward to this matchup, man. You have the Ugly Ducklings against the Federated, Mike Orlando, and our guest coming up, which is the Dagger, Mick Drake. What's going on, man? How are you?
Oh, I'm great, man. I'm great, guys. Thanks for having me.
So listen, man, first and foremost, talk about the Federated. It's something that we're going to get to another question that I've heard about at Battle Club Pro. It's something, it's our first time going to witness the event Battle Club itself. But talk about the Federated and how it formed.
So Federated is a collection of guys who, by their own admission and by the admission of anyone who sees them, thinks that, hey, that's a guy I should see on television. That's a guy that I should see in the Tokyo Dome. That's a guy that I should see in Madison Square Garden. And you know what? You might not see that guy there today. You might not see them there tomorrow, but you're going to see them there one day. So everyone that's a part of this group is somebody that brings something very unique and somebody that brings a television aura about themselves to the group. And that's something that sets it apart from everything else you see on the independents today. You know, there's a lot of people in the independents are very focused on one style of pro wrestling, or, you know, they have a very similar viewpoint of what good pro wrestling is. So we think that we know what good pro wrestling is, and good pro wrestling is guys who are going to be stars. And for us, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So that's the concept of Federated.
I've seen both you and Mike Orlando, which is the other member of your partnership here, and you guys seem to, you know, have this confidence. You guys exude this confidence, and you guys have that it factor. You guys, if you look anywhere on YouTube, anywhere Google, you guys are right there in the forefront. Now, this matchup was assembled by, ironically, the commissioner or the GM of Battle Club Pro, and that's Dave Sturcio. There's a little bit of some personal tension there, some animosity between you guys. Talk about that and how it, you know, will implicate things on November the 4th.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not going to get into the minor details. I'll give you a brief overview, and that should catch everybody up to speed. Basically, Dave has not given us the opportunities that we deserve. That's all it comes down to. You know, like, we've seen people come into Battle Club. We've seen them be handed opportunities. And for some reason, we are passed over. And this is not about bitterness. This is not about sour grapes. This is just being factual. And you said it yourself. You've seen me and Mike. We have a presence. We have an it. Guys like us do not hang around on independent shows for a very long time. We get snatched up. You know, when you're 6'3", 240 pounds plus, 250 pounds plus, and you move the way we move, we don't last for long. Somebody sees us and we get snatched up. And so the last show, what we decided to do was we were going to make an impact. You know, Dave is very close with Mark Haggerty. Mark Haggerty was the one of the announcers at Battle Club Pro.
Yeah, he'll be ring announcing this Saturday as well. So
yeah, if he's lucky, he sure will be. but we used Mark to make an example of what happens when Federated doesn't get the opportunities that they deserve. And you know what? It worked, right? We made an example of Mark, Brute, who's one of our, you know, Brute's a big guy. He's a big, strong guy. We used Brute. Brute came to us. And as a unit, we made an example out of Mark. And because we did that, now we've got the ducklings at the All Fall Down. And I am very confident in saying this is the match that everyone is going to be talking about after the show is over.
Talk about
after
your...
the last, after the previous show. And the reason I say they're going to talk about it after this is over is because after the previous show, all I heard from fans, from social media was, oh, the Ducks this, the Ducks that. Oh, the Ducks are so great. And you know what? The Ducks are great. And they're a great act. And I get why people like them, right? They're a little weird looking. They, you know, they move. They're a little high flyers. They got a cool little act. But Mike and I are not an act. We're legit. So these guys are going to, they're going to run into the brick wall that is the two of us at They All Fall Down.
So do you feel, as you guys having that it factor, being Federated, that being thrown an act to you, the way you describe them, do you think that's a little bit maybe insulting to you guys, that it's an act and not two guys maybe that are your caliber? Give me a little scattering report on the ducklings. You know, for a person that is going to be there for the first time, is going to watch them do battle with you guys, give a little scattering report, or do you think you're a little insulted that it's an act that's being thrown at you?
So, listen, this may, you know, somebody else would probably say, oh, I'm insulted that they would even be in the ring with us. You know what? I'll be frank with you. I'm not insulted. To me, this is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to make an example of these guys. Because you know what? Say what you will about the Ducks. People like to see them, right?
Yeah.
They were just on a WWN show 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. They have made waves on shows all over the place, in Florida, in New Hampshire, in North Carolina, South Carolina. Like, they have done very well for themselves. And so I would be remiss if I said, I think they're a joke. I think that they are not in our league. You know what? I know that we are better than them in every way, shape, and form. And I'm going to use that knowledge to make an example of them. And that's all they are. Like, this is not personal to the Ducks. Like, they, you know, these guys, Rob and Lance and Kobe, they are very, very talented. But they're just not as talented as we are. And, you know, all the talent in the world is great. But, you know, Mike is 6'3", 260. I'm 6'3", 250, 245, depending on what I come in at that day. You know, we move as well as they do, maybe better for guys our size. All you got to do is look up my Instagram or look up Mike's Instagram, and you'll see the way we train. You'll see I basically look like a linebacker. You know, I move like a guy you would see on the football field, a professional athlete. That's what I do. So I don't think it's an insult at all. I think we got exactly what we wanted. We got a team that has got eyes on them, and we got an opportunity to make an example out of them, and that's exactly what we're going to do at the show.
No, well, definitely. Mick, you know, just listening to you talk right now, there's no doubt you guys have confidence within yourself. I mean, you have to right now to be in the situation you guys are in. You're right with the it factor, whatever you want to call it, that you two have. Guys like you don't last on the independents very long. But with that being said, and you know, maybe not being handed the opportunities you wanted to be handed, or not necessarily handed, but given, because you earned it and you deserved it at Battle Club Pro, does that make you walk in there with a chip on your shoulder?
I will speak broadly for Mike. I think you're going to talk to him later, or you just spoke with him. So I will speak broadly for Mike, and I will speak primarily for myself. I always got a chip on my shoulder, man. My goal is to be number one. That's it. Bottom line, the best, number one. And a lot of people will be like, oh, that's pretty arrogant. I go, yeah, maybe, or maybe it's confident, right? I'll give you an example. You know, the lot of guys in the independents, right? They all do these drives, you know, 14 hours, 15 hours. They get on a plane. They go where they got to go. They go to one show. Then they get another plane. It's exhausting, right? Mm-hmm. Totally. And lots of people do it. They deserve all the credit in the world. A couple weeks ago, I had a one-day turnaround to Florida. I went down to Florida, had a show at a place called Roman Pro Wrestling. Everything went great. Literally 3 hours later, got back on a plane, back in New York. 2 hours sleep, two flights within a span of probably 18 hours. The first place I went was the gym where I hit a PR. And that's what separates me from everybody else, because everybody else goes home and they go, I had a great weekend. I wrestled. It was all good. All right, time to put my feet up, play some video games, watch some TV. Nah, man, I'm at the gym. I don't play video games. I watch tape. I watch film. If you want to be great, you got work to do. And I'll be damned if you're going to outwork me. Like, a lot of people talk. I'm not talk. Like, just watch the way I move. Watch what I do. Every time I move, somebody subconsciously will look at me and go, wow, that guy's got it. That's not an accident, man. That's work. So, yeah, I do have a chip on my shoulder.
So, you see, he has the work, the drive, the passion, the hustle, everything. You talk about tape, right? Let's talk about, for example, you obviously have this passion. It's in your blood, obviously. At what age, when did you start realizing this is something that I want to do, that this is going to be my life? What exactly did you know that was wrestling?
So I'll give you so I'll be straight up honest with you guys. So you ask this question, and everybody probably tells you, well, I was a little kid and I saw Hulk Hogan, or I saw Steve Austin, or I saw Shawn Michaels, and in that moment I knew it was my dream. That's what I wanted to do.
Mick's right? Been
you
listening
get
to
some
the show.
Variation of that.
Yeah, Mick's a
That's
fan of the show.
Literally everyone who ever answers that question ever, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's not me. So I was a wrestling fan growing up. I loved wrestling. Great. Graduated high school. I was a basketball player in high school, right? Got to college. I went to Rutgers. So I'm a Jersey kid, right? Went to Rutgers. And I realized in that moment, my first year at Rutgers, I could have played D1 basketball. I was good enough. I had the natural talent to do it. if I had put the work in when I was in high school, and I didn't. I kind of goofed around, you know, I had fun, like, you know, I didn't take basketball that seriously. And I decided, I was like, oh man, this feels terrible, having like this regret or whatever. And I decided in that moment, I must have been 18 years old, maybe 19 years old. I was like, you know what? Never again. So I sat down and I was like, what is it that I want to do? And yeah, I loved wrestling. It was my dream when I was a little kid. But in that moment, it went from being a dream. It wasn't a dream anymore. It was a goal. I said, I am going to do this. And if I do this, it's 500%, 1,000% all the way, no half-assing it. And if I don't get what I want out of this industry, it won't be because I didn't do enough work. It'll be because, you know, the chips didn't fall where they had to. And if they don't, and I did everything possible that I could, I'll be okay with it. So I made that decision then. I found a little wrestling school. I started working out. I started training very quietly. I didn't do a lot of independent shows. And a lot of people asked me why. And I said, because in my mind, you only get one real first impression. Right. Even if people see you when you're 22 and they go, oh, wow, this young guy, he has potential. Right. And they see you grow and they see you develop. No matter how good you get, no matter how great you slowly become, there are still people who will always remember you as that little skinny 22 year old or that kid who kind of had some potential. But, you know, it may not really make it. You only get one chance to walk in the door and make people go, whoa, who's that dude? So I kept myself kind of off the radar of the independents for a long time. Did some stuff with WWE, had a couple looks with them. And I said, you know what? I'm going to work on being the most athletic guy I can be, being the biggest guy I can be, being the fastest guy I can be, being the most charismatic guy I can be. And slowly in the last year, it started to come together. You know, I've been taking a lot more bookings. I worked a match at NXT this past summer. I'll probably be going back down there in the next couple months, and you know, let's see what happens. So that's me. That's where I'm at.
Talking about the fact that, you know, you said within the year things have started and come together. I'm always curious about this, and something I admire in terms of people who are in the business like yourself, Mick. It's like, you know, a lot of it's physical. I understand the training that goes into it. And you said, for example, those long trips, you know, to Florida and New York, and then you're right back in the gym. And that's admirable, too. And you know, nobody can underestimate the conditioning you guys have to go through as you guys abuse your bodies the way you do for that gratification of getting to the top and being the very best. Can you talk about the mental side of it? Because I think a lot of people always get the misinterpretation, the fact that, wow, for example, I'll use you for an example, right? Man, he can go in the ring. He's got all those attributes. Now let's see what he does in front of a camera. How much of that mental side are you comfortable with now at this stage in your career where you're like, you know what? Sometimes to be successful, you have to sometimes admit your faults and your failures because we all have them. At what point do you think you are right now, and where do you feel you need to progress to get to that next level, which I think ultimately everybody wants to be, and yourself included? I can't speak for you, nor I dare speak for you, but because I don't want to upset you. But it would ultimately be WWE, right?
Oh, I'll tell you straight up. Like, if people ask me my goal, like a lot of people, you know, you interview a lot of guys, they probably dance around it, right? Well, I want to travel the world, and maybe one day if the time is right, and, you know, let's see what happens. I'll tell you straight up. I want a main event WrestleMania. I want to wrestle Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar or John Cena at WrestleMania. And then the next year I want to wrestle the other one. And then the next year I want to wrestle the other one. Mm-hmm. I got no qualms about saying that. Now, when you say that, people either think you're nuts or they think, wow, this guy's just loaded up an insane amount of pressure on himself. And to your question, this is where the mental toughness comes in. Mm-hmm. Because pro wrestling is no different from any sport in the sense that it is in my opinion, 99.9% mental, right? If you got all the tools in the world, if you got all the physical gifts, it does not matter if the biggest, the most important tool, the one between your ears, is not the sharpest tool in the drawer or in the shed. You have to be willing to do what no one else will. There's a great quote. I wish I had time to look it up, but it comes from Tim Grover. Tim Grover is the guy who trained in the gym Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan. All right. Those two guys were as maniacal as anyone about being great and about excellence. And if you are mentally tough, you know that there's nothing anybody can throw at you that'll throw you off your game. There are days where I have been, you know, on the borderline of injured or sick or feeling like I was going to pass out because I had an hour and a half sleep after, you know, a 12-hour drive. And all I said to myself was, you know what? If I can drag myself to the gym or to a show and I can perform at the highest level when I'm about to keel over and vomit, then what chance does anybody competing with me have when I'm at my best? They got no chance when I'm at my best. So you have to be, in my mind, as obsessive and maniacal and as mentally tough as anybody if you're going to be successful in pro wrestling. And you know, that doesn't mean that I don't have weaknesses, right? Part of being great is recognizing what you do well and what you don't do well, and then finding those weaknesses and making them your strength. I'm not going to get into what I think my weaknesses are. I think, I know what they are, and they're pretty minute, not to say that they're, you know, I don't have a lot of them. I'm just saying they're very in the weeds, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But they're there. I know they're there, and it eats away at me that they're there. And so I'll watch a match. You can ask anybody I've ever wrestled. They'll tell you I've never had a great match in my life. I hate every match I've ever had. Cause I have it. I come to the back, I'll watch it 10 times and I'll go, oh, this sucked, or that sucked, or this sucked. Meanwhile, everybody else is like, oh, the crowd was crazy. That was great. I'm like, yeah, but it wasn't perfect. So to me, it sucked. If it's not perfect, I don't want anything to do with it. And people say you're nuts, but you need to have that obsessive mentality to be great at anything.
Now, you were able this past summer to wrestle a match in NXT. You got a glimpse of the machine, how it works. Talk about just that whole experience and just that day, or whether it was for a couple of days, the tapings. Just talk about that in general, that experience, that probably invaluable experience that you learned this past summer. Talk about that a little bit. What was it like to get a glimpse of the machine?
So I will say this. My reaction is probably going to be different from what you expect or from what other people take away from it. But based on what I have said to you about myself prior to this, it probably won't surprise you. So I went down there, and I know a lot of the people down there, and I know, you know, the people who run it, and some of the coaches, and the people who are in the system. I'm lucky enough to be in contact with some of these people. And I went down there, and I will tell you, as I went through the curtain and went out there, for a moment, I did savor it. I went, okay, this is good. You know, this is good. This is part of getting where you want to get. And as I went through the curtain, I also was very focused on what I had a job to do while I was there, right? This was game time. This was, you know, if I can draw an analogy, this was the playoffs. This was the finals.
Yep.
This was put up or shut up time, right? And I was focused on what I had to do. So I might have enjoyed it for 2 or 3 seconds, and I immediately, the switch went off, and I went, all right, time to go to work. After it was over, I can tell you that I sat there in the room with a lot of those very talented individuals, and I looked around, and I went, you know what? I can be here. I should be here. I will be here. And that's not to be arrogant and to, you know, to look at anybody there and say, hey, I'm better than this person, I'm better than that person.
No, not at all.
Just as a very general statement of confidence and knowing what you bring to the table and knowing what you are able to offer as a product or as a talent, I said, you know what, I can do this and I should be here and I will be here. And that was it. And I didn't enjoy it after that, I'll be honest with you. I was grateful for the experience. I was humbled that I was offered the experience. Everyone was a upstanding professional in at the highest level. It was very humbling to be invited into that system for, a day or whatever, 2 days or whatever it was. But I said, you know what? That's great. I got work to do because I should be here and I will be here. So I didn't enjoy it the way somebody would have enjoyed it. Like if there was, I know people who've done that and they go, oh, it was great. I was on NXT and now you can look me up on the network. And to me, I'm like, yeah, great. Who cares? Like I didn't main event WrestleMania, so I don't care. Moving on. Like, what am I doing to get where I want to get? And so I got on a plane. I came home and the first place I went was the gym. And then right after that, I picked up more bookings and I said, okay, this is what I need to do. Just last week, I spent a week in St. Louis with, Elgin working out with Mike for a week and he was awesome. That's my thing. If it's not getting me where I want to be, then it's a waste of my time. That's how I look at everything.
What's the best advice? You said you've gone the road with like Michael Elgin and various other, wrestlers. What's the best advice that you've been given or that you have given somebody else? But just in general, what is the best advice in general that you've gotten in wrestling?
I mean, there's the old standby, which is keep your eyes open, ears open, and mouth shut. That's always good. I don't want to give you guys a cliche one. I will just, I've been around for a little bit now, and there are some younger guys who occasionally come to me for very, very little bit of advice or guidance on stuff. And I tell them early on, when they're 1 year in, 2 years in, just trying to get their feet under them. And I say, listen, if you want to make it, you got to want to make it, and you got to want to be successful more than anything on earth. You got to be willing to, metaphorically speaking, obviously, kill to be successful. Because if you are not willing to do everything possible, somebody else will, and they'll take your spot. That's how competitive this is. Like, look at the people who are successful. We talked about the WWE and the WWE. You are competing against Olympians, NFL players, UFC fighters, people who competed in the CrossFit Games. You are competing against some of the best in the world at their athletic endeavor. So if you want to even be able to compete at that level, you better be obsessive about being great. You better not take any days off. You better hit the road, hit the shows, come home, and pack your bag and be ready to go to the gym on Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Because if you're not, somebody else is. And I know that, anybody who's been around me will tell you that. They'll tell you, oh, you're kind of you're a machine. You're going into beast mode. And I go, dude, there's no such thing as beast mode. They're just beasts, and they're like that all the time.
Very true. Talking to Mick Drake here, the Dagger. Great insight, because I just love it because Mick comes with a different perspective. Now, it's really easy to say all the cookie cutter cliche things that we hear all the time. And, I'm not saying all of them, Jeff, are cliche. I mean, I'm sure a lot of them are very authentic too, but Mick sees it from a different perspective, which I admire a lot because, you have to in such a competitive field like this. But now with the business having evolved since I watched it back in the 90s and during the Monday Night Wars, and now through this other stage that it's in right now where I feel
the social media era
is so huge, where right now literally you can brand yourself into a star so that when you do get the opportunity, and for you, Mick, it's just a matter of time. There's no doubt in my or Jeff's mind that's going to happen. You're going to return back there and be able to fulfill all those goals you want to accomplish in the WWE. But the thing is, by branding yourself, how vital do you think right now, not just for yourself speaking, but maybe for other talent out there that want to hone their craft, and you don't have the WCW, the ECW anymore, but you do have Ring of Honor, New Japan, etc. Is it a great time right now for anybody I wouldn't say anybody, because it takes a special person to be in this business to begin with, but is it a good time for a young and up-and-coming wrestler to be in the business, since there is so much availability in terms of honing your craft and accessibility of gauging an audience to know your brand?
So let me take that in a couple different directions. So we have access now, and this is something that all of us kind of take for granted. And because I read about how certain industries were even 5, 10, 15, 15 years ago, we take for granted the fact that we can put something online and it can reach anybody at any time, right? If you are lucky enough to hit the right combination, you can go viral and you can get thousands and hundreds of thousands of eyes on something, right? Joey Janela threw himself off a roof.
Oh yeah, Joey Janela.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Joey got eyes on himself like no one. Maybe he thought he would, you know, more power to him. And he blew up, right?
Good yeah.
for Joey. So we have access to that. Whereas 15, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, you had to record a videotape and you had to send a tape out to somebody. And now I sound like Rip Rogers, maybe saying like, this is what you had to do back in the day, you know?
Yeah.
So we have access. We have the ability to do that. The downside of that is people are constantly bombarded by something seeking their attention, right? If you're a promoter, you're getting 10, 15, 20 messages a day from guys asking for bookings. Hey, can you watch this match? Can you watch that match? And there's not enough time in the day. So as a wrestler, as a performer, you got to find something that sets you apart. What is that thing that makes people, you know, if they're shuffling through their messages, kind of do a second look and go, whoa, who's this? For some people, it's, you know, the way they dress. For some people, it's, for the Ducks, for example, look at the way they look as a collective unit. You know, they got that weird colored tights and they, you know,
yeah.
A couple of them are missing teeth and, they have a unique look about them. You know, for me, I send my stuff off and guys that look like me do not come along to most promoters' inboxes on a regular basis, right? Like they go, whoa, who's this guy? 6'3", 245, 251. Like, where'd he come from? You have to find whatever it is that's going to get them to go, whoa, what's this guy about? And part of that is networking and meeting people on the road and being available. And I always tell people, and this is something that I do too, is be ready. Be ready, stay ready. A lot of people look at WWE champion Jinder Mahal, right? And they go, oh, he's lucky. You know, they're expanding in India and they're doing this. Yeah, maybe that's part of it. But you know what? When somebody called his number, hey, Jinder, can you come off the bench and get in the game? He was ready to go. And now he's running with the ball. And that's no different from any other sport. That's no different from life. When somebody gives you the ball or when somebody gives you an opportunity, you better be ready for it. Because if you're not, you're going to kick yourself. So it's an interesting time, definitely, to be able to brand yourself and market yourself. And there are more places than ever to get in-ring experience. Which is a benefit. And obviously there are the big leagues in WWE and Japan. And even if we're talking Ring of Honor and Evolve, like there are numerous places to get in ring work, and access to the knowledge at these places is unparalleled. Like I can plug in a podcast and listen to Stone Cold Steve Austin break down an entire show and get insight from Steve Austin, the arguably the number one or number two or number three guy in the history of the industry. Can give me insight that I never in a million years would have been able to get. And I can get that from Steve Austin, and I can get that from Jim Ross, and I can get that from n number of guys, right? So we have the tools. We have advantages that other generations haven't had. And so if in my mind, if you're not putting that to work, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your shot. To me, it's like if you're not trying to get on my level, then you get out of the way. You're just wasting my time.
You said before that the bookings, you were very, you know, cautious of when to take them, first impressions. Battle Club Pro, this is our first time attending it live, and we've seen the passion by Carlos. We've seen just how everything's going to form. We've heard great things. What about Battle Club Pro makes you guys coming back, makes you guys want to be a part of it, their 1 year anniversary show?
So if I can, so let me just, and this is not me. I think you get the sense from talking to me that I'm pretty honest, pretty straightforward. I don't, you know, I'm not going to,
sugarcoat anything
or anything.
Yeah.
But just to, I'm pretty blunt, right, in how I explain myself. Carlos has done an incredible job putting together this show, and I have seen Carlos put in an absurd amount of work to make this successful. The level of effort he has put in should be commended, because I have seen other promoters, and I'm not saying all promoters that I've ever worked for or been around, but the large majority of promoters I have been around have not done a quarter of the work that Carlos has put in into making this upcoming show successful. He has done everything and anything and gone above and beyond. And because I see him do that, it makes me more passionate about making sure that this product is a high quality product, and it makes me want to continue to build something out of Battle Club Pro. There are a couple of, you know, independent promotions here in New York City. And I think it's possible for them all to be successful if they all kind of have their own individual feel or flavor. And if you guys had been to previous Battle Club shows, you would know that Battle Club has that. And if you haven't, you will find out when you come to the show. You will see a variety of things top to bottom that you will not get anywhere else. And so when I see that, it makes me want to be a part of it and help it grow even more. And the reality is, you know, we are very fortunate in that, you know, this is New York City. All it takes is the right set of eyes, and all of a sudden something blows up, right? We're not running little independent shows out in, you know, God bless the people who do them in
Saskatchewan, Wyoming.
Saskatchewan, Wyoming.
Exactly. God bless them, right?
God bless the people in Saskatchewan. I love them. I do, but, you know, I want to go there.
But we have a unique opportunity here, being based in the largest media market in the country, to get eyeballs on our product and on the performers. So to me, that's something that's always lingering in the back of my mind. Is you never know who may stumble into this or who may go, hey, what's going on? And I mean, you guys work in the city. You know how it is on a Friday night. People are always looking for something different to do. Everybody's seen Broadway shows, and they've seen Nick. No, well, now people want to go to Nick games because of Porzingis, but nobody wanted to go to Nick games anymore. You know, nobody wanted to go to, you know, baseball's over. Hey, there's a wrestling show. You want to go see it? It's only $20. Yeah, let's go check it out. And you never know who'll come and see. You never know. You might make a wrestling fan out of somebody. So that's the unique opportunity I think that exists with Battle Club Pro, and that's why I am passionate about this show, and I specifically about this match. I am telling everyone who will listen. I am saying, watch this match. I guarantee you will be talking about it afterwards, and you will remember this afterwards. And there are other amazing, excellent performers on the show, top to bottom, from main event to the Wrestler's Lab opening contest. Every single one is gonna be great, but I promise you, they will be talking about Federated and the Ducks.
Well, if talking to somebody in the building was an art form, then you know what? Mick just crapped over that art form, because he just took it to another level, seriously. Because honestly, you know, screw the John Cena, screw all those people who are supposedly good talkers, and I call him Phil Brooks because he's not CM Punk to me anymore. Screw that, because Mick just sold an event, and it hasn't even happened yet.
He really did.
I don't even have to, honestly, you know, I love Carlos right now, and we're going to go there, but I don't even have to go there anymore, because yeah. Mick just sold the event. Like, I don't need to see it. I'm exhausted. I mean, you know what? I'm going to go work out right now, because Mick, you've just motivated me to beyond awesome. Belief, because we all go through those stages, and we're all human. So, you know, I'm not saying you go through it as well. I mean, because at the end of the day, we're all human beings, and we all reach
sure.
that wall where eventually you're like, you know, you don't question yourself, but you start losing some of the motivation Not that it has to always be fun, but you look at it from a perspective of, I'm going to go 500 miles an hour at 500% each day. And I, Jeff and I kind of have that same type of mentality, which is why we're doing this podcast. And we're gracious enough to have you on and give us a few minutes of your time. But also at the same time, my mindset is, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out swinging. And Mick has that same type of mentality, which is very admirable and very motivated for the fact that if anybody's listening to this right now, not only do you have to be a fan of professional wrestling, but you just have some difficulties and strides of looking towards your goals and really achieving them full head on. That's what Mick does.
Yeah, man.
I will tell you, if I can tell you guys real quick, I know we're probably running low on time, but just to give you an
example.
We're
getting close to a commercial break. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we have to sell some Blue Apron or some... Yeah. You know, one of those underwear commercials.
Yes. Some thigh burners or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Is Suzanne Summer still selling that product? I don't know.
So just to give you guys an idea, right? I, a lot of people don't know this about me. Some do. You know, I went to college, and after college, I went to law school. So I am also, by day, an attorney. I live and work in New York City probably 50 hours a week, sometimes 60 hours a week. And that's just a job to me. I want to be a WWE superstar, right? That's what I want to do. So some days I got to go to bed at 11 o'clock at night and I got to wake up at 3:45 in the morning and I got to go work out. And you know what? I'm not a morning person. I don't care if you are a morning person. Waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go squat 300 pounds sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks. But if what you want, if the end result is what you crave more than anything else, you will be willing to do the work. And if I'm there at 4 o'clock in the morning, I can look in the mirror and I can go, you know what? I'm here. I know other people who are trying to get the job that I'm trying to get are still in bed. And I'll bet on myself every time.
Hey, listen.
If we were to bet anything on you, again, yeah, if we were to bet anything on Mick, we'd be fools. You know, 'cause if I were to walk into her courtroom for whatever the reason might be, and see him there, I'm like, well, I'm done. That's it. It's over.
Yeah. He'll work the whole...
You guys don't have to worry about that. I'm one of those good lawyers. I do environmental law, so I don't get paid a lot of money.
Oh, okay.
And I can sleep at night, though, for four hours a night.
No, but even if it wasn't for that, you just walked into a corner for whatever reason. Say you walked into the wrong room. People are like, well, it's over. There's Mick.
He'll work the jury, man. He'll
his power suit, and you know, as intimidating as he is right now, I'm like, that's it. It's over.
Listen, man, we are short on time, but I just got to ask you, since you're so good... Just telling it like it is. A guy, for example, with the releases of the WWE guys, with Emma, you know, Summer Rae, Darren Young, and then for example,
Neville wanted to get out.
Yeah, and Leo Rush with that tweet. It was showed some immaturity. Maybe it was taken out of context. Whatever it is, you tweet that, and you're going to leave yourself open for criticism. Whatever it is, just your thoughts on that. You think it's something that, hey, it was a mistake? Do you think he should be get this tremendous heat now by all the other superstars? Just what do you think on the situation?
I'm just going to make a general statement that is not in any way, shape, or form exclusively applicable to anything you just mentioned or, you know, anything else in particular. This is just a general observation that I have had in my little experience with, you know, promoters and promotions and other independent wrestlers and things like that. Okay, this is in no way an indictment on anything that may or may not have happened last week or a couple days ago. Okay, you can see me going to lawyer mode now, right?
Yes, I know.
Exactly. I was like, don't give me your general statement.
The views expressed directly are not of Mick Drake, but
right. High Spot Podcast.
So here's my thing. A lot of people look down on the phrase sports entertainer, right? They go, oh, you know, I don't want to be a sports entertainer. I want to be a professional wrestler. Okay, cool. The professional part of professional wrestler, to me, is just as, if not more important, than the wrestler part. And that goes for everything you do from top to bottom. How you show up at a show, how you dress, hygiene, what time you arrive at a venue, how you behave in a locker room, how you behave when you leave, how you treat people. I noticed after I had a little bit of success with NXT or whatever else it was, There are certain people who began to treat me differently in a more positive way because I had a little bit of success. And to me, you should treat everyone with respect, with courtesy, a basic level of courtesy and decency, regardless of who they are. And that's really all it comes down to. But if there's one takeaway, it's to me, if you're a professional wrestler, emphasis should also be as much on the professional part of that as it is on the wrestler part of that. And that covers a lot of things. Not in the ring, out of the ring, that's everything.
Yeah, and this interview was everything professional that you could look for when you're trying to interview somebody. And listen, I really appreciate you reaching back out to us to do this. I know that once we mentioned Carlos and Battle Club promoting it, you were like right on board, and we appreciate that. We appreciate your time, dude. And again, listen, we would love to have you back on again, like we were talking before, and preview or recap another wrestling event, something like that, because you definitely have a talent for trying to do a podcast or something like that. So we'd definitely love to have you on board and do something like that with us. It'd be a great experience, man.
Hey guys, I would love to, I work down by NYU. I would love to come up to your offices in Midtown and do that one day. So just definitely let me know.
Awesome, man. Again, he is the Dagger, Mick Drake. He will be teaming up with Big Mike Orlando, and they are federated. The Green Machine. They are federated, and they will have the match of the night against the Ugly Ducklings, and that is a match that everyone's talking about. And if you're not sold now, I mean, I don't know what else you got to do. The front row now is officially sold out. And
just having
tickets.
Mick on the show, the second and third row have been sold out just now.
so get your tickets. And, man, listen, I look forward to meeting you Saturday. And, listen, best of luck. Although luck is for losers, you don't need it. So,
and Mick is not a loser.
No, continued success, man. Great talking.
Thank you, guys. Take care. All the best.
And that was the Dagger, Mick Drake, part of Federated. And he will, alongside Mike Orlando, the Green Machine, take on the Ugly Ducklings. Looking forward to it, man. I mean, he's made the promise that this is the matchup that we'll all end up talking about at the end of the night. Hey, I got to agree with him, man. The guy's got the confidence, and he's telling me so. So I'm going to believe it, and I'm very looking forward to Ridgefield Park, New Jersey, November the 4th, Battle Club Pro. They all fall down. An amazing, amazing card, man. Carlos really hit it out of the ballpark, and we haven't even seen it yet.
Oh, he hit out of the bar. He hit out of the arena. He hit out of the town. It still hasn't landed yet. It probably won't land for a very long time. But, it's easy for me to say that, yeah, this could steal the show, but I think that's the mentality of all the matches on this card. You know, when you look at all the competitors and it being the one-year anniversary, I think everybody wants to steal the show, and that's a great mentality to have. So that gives a huge amount of credit to Battle Club Pro and the importance that everybody wants to put in this promotion. So we're very fortunate enough to be a part of it in some form and capacity by doing this for you guys with the High Spot Podcast Battle Club Pro Special Edition interviews that we're posting, which are great for us. But also, you know how much I love tag team wrestling. I think right now when you're looking at this, these two tag teams, I mean, talking about, like, we joked about how don't go to the bathroom. Don't bring any food with you. Just sit right there in the chair because you're going to miss out on some great action. And to me, there's no greater action than tag team wrestling.
Yeah, definitely. So don't go to the concession stand. Stay in your seats, or if so, order before the festivities begin.
And now I feel bad we're saying this because now the concessions are going to get mad at us. They're not making any money.
Oh, wait a minute,
So buy all your food ahead of time at the beginning and buy during intermission.
There you go. We have to.
And then just hold it in during the whole event.
We have to be politically correct.
We have to. Yeah.
But again,
they make money too, man.
Thanks to the Dagger, Mick Drake, joining us. I'm sure he will also be on the show in the future. Definitely want to pick his brain on other few wrestling topics as well. Really got into it with the whole Leo Rush situation and kind of, gave us, like, with the lawyer answer about what he felt about it. But obviously, we're going to pick his brain.
Once we get him in studio, I won't let him get away with that.
Definitely, no. He's going to have to give us the right answer. No swerving us here. But again, it's going to be a great night. Battle Club Pro. They all fall down. This was the High Spot Podcast Special Edition. One more interview left before November the 4th, Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. I will sit down with Darius Carter, coming off a amazing UK tour. He will talk to me and talk about his matchup against Gary J. Can he stop the Gary J movement? And the Tier 1 wrestling champion has had an amazing story. And now I'll get to pick his brain on what exactly his thoughts are heading into Battle Club Pro. They all fall down.
And so for that, we will see you guys next time.